Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show as we get things started. Midweek tomorrow, our look at high school football and the games you'll hear on the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation, with Shikellamie playing host to Montoursville here on WKOK. We'll have a preview of Sealands Grove and Berwick from Crispin Field in Berwick. We'll also take a look at Milton traveling to Shamokin, and Lewisburg at home at Bucknell University coming up on Friday night. We'll have info on that game as well. So that'll be coming up tomorrow in our high school football roundup. That'll be starting at 3:35. Of course, we're starting to look ahead toward Penn State and Army. That's coming up on Saturday, and the weather looks like it could be better for that particular game. We'll talk more about that through the next several hours, and of course, also on Thursday and Friday as well. Bucknell on the road to VMI on Saturday, and that does not sound like the world's best weather day at all. Matter of fact, it looks like we might be playing in early parts of a hurricane. I'm not really excited about that whatsoever, but we'll see how that plans out as AccuWeather's forecast gets a little bit more fine-tuned. Bob Buehner back in the studio with us as soon as we flip everything on there and get him all powered up and ready to go. The switch in the back of the gray unit. There you go. Should be too. There he is. There we go.
Hey, Kevin. Listen, I'm not going to sound too alarmist, but I did see people out in the fields gathering pairs of animals.
Two by two?
Yeah. And getting large chunks of wood from Home Depot. So
has there's been one Penn State game this year that it hasn't rained at home?
Yeah, but no one can remember it. No, it's right now out in Pittsburgh, they're actually playing the first of a day-night doubleheader that was rained out, and didn't look all that bad when I was watching the through about the third inning before heading down here to Broadcast Mountain for the show.
Well, Steve called it a must-win for the Pirates, and right now, top bottom of the fifth inning, they lead 6-1.
Wow, because it was 1-1 when I left the house, and I didn't have the vehicle with the satellite radio. So,
is Wainwright starting in that game, or is he starting in the next game?
Waka was on the mound for the Cards, and Garrett Cole was doing very well for the Pirates through about four innings. And now we're in, what you said, the sixth.
Yeah, well, bottom of the fifth, actually.
Okay.
The bottom of the fifth. But I'd heard that Wainwright might be available early as one of these doubleheader games.
They activated him yesterday or Monday. However, he was supposed to throw just some bullpen action, getting him more ready, I think, for the postseason. That was what I had heard. But listen, it might depend on the outcome of the first game.
Well, right now, Pirates leading by a score of 6-1, bottom of the fifth with one out and a runner on second.
Oh, God, thank goodness for that water from Lourdes.
Yes, it worked.
Yes. Well, he did the smart thing. He switched the rotation up because for the first time all season, and Kevin hates this that I point this out because it just goes completely against the cliched world. This actually is a must-win for the Pirates. That's why he switched them up.
Had to do it.
Right. Cole was supposed to pitch tonight. Well, if the Cardinals won this afternoon, Cole pitching tonight would have been irrelevant. So you pitch him in the game where you absolutely have to win this game. And this is the first must-win the Pirates have faced all year in 157 games.
And looks like with a 6-1 lead, things are working out, which sets up a big one tonight.
Yeah, they're in good shape. But then now you go tonight, and you go deeper into the rotation. The Cardinals go deeper into their rotation, and Charlie Morton goes tonight. And Charlie Morton, to his credit, Pirate fans find religion when he pitches. Oh, Lord, please.
Yes.
Please, I pray. Help me. Oh, God, Charlie.
Just keep the ball low, Charlie. That's
Well, he has to avoid the bad inning. I mean, but this is the first must win the Pirates have faced all year. It is a great sign for them that even if it doesn't pan out over the next couple of days, you know, because the Cardinals have to, if the Cardinals go to Atlanta and win two games, that's over. Okay?
Yep.
So, I mean, that is the bottom line. I mean, that's how it works. But it is a great sign for Pirate fans that in a day where they hand your ace the ball and say, you must pitch great for us today, he does. Because guess what? Next Wednesday, they're going to have to hand him the ball again and do the same thing.
And, you know, it's nice to actually have what we would call a pennant race, at least in one of the leagues in Major League, or one of the divisions in Major League Baseball, because it's been relatively quiet otherwise.
Well, it has. The Yankees are all set. You know, Texas has been playing great. Kansas City's had it wrapped up for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, the Dodgers wrapped it up last night. Kershaw threw a one-hitter. It's still the regular season. That's why that happened. And the Mets have had their division wrapped up for a while. So you've had really the playoffs pretty well set here. You just don't have this one set at this time. And again, if the Cardinals win tonight, it's over. If the Cardinals go to Atlanta and win two, or the Pirates lose two, it's over. So, as you know, it's as simple as that. But yes, Kevin, this is actually the definition of a must-win game.
Yeah, I said that earlier. I said that it's a must-win.
No. You do must-wins in game five for the Steelers. It's a must-win game for them. It's a must-win. No, not really. No, it really isn't. It would be preferred if they did, but it's not a must. You hate when I do that.
It's backs to the wall today. That's what it really is.
Well, if I mean, if no, it's I mean, the last game if, of the if, season if, and you're a game out, they, is that if, a must win?
Yeah, it is because the Pirates own the tiebreaker on the Cardinals. Do you follow sports?
I try to avoid it.
Do you follow what's going on?
I follow my sports.
Right, the Pirates have the tiebreaker over the Cardinals. That's why your scenario is a must-win, because if they won and the Cardinals lost, they'd be tied and the Pirates would be the division champ. You glad I showed up?
I'm so happy. I'm all warm and fuzzy inside.
By the way, guys, I do have in sports that Kevin might be interested in, Steve. I have a news flash from England where the Rugby World Cup is going on. New Zealand 58, Namibia 7.
Is 58 a normal amount of points?
You know what bothers me, Bob, is I really like Namibia in that spot.
They were a decided underdog, but in all seriousness,
what was the over under in that game?
About 60, Kevin. What was really shocking this year, and it sent shockwaves through the rugby world, which is about 30 countries in the world that really get into this. Is they always call the also-rans the minnows, and the big fish are the South Africans, the New Zealanders, the English, and a few, four or five.
The Steelers without Roethlisberger?
Yeah. Exactly. And one of the minnows, Japan, upset South Africa this year, and it was stunning. It's one of those things that it would be like Shikalimi beating Penn State in a football game be the equivalent. So, big news.
That's a big one.
That's
a big one. That's a big one. Hey, Steve, we talked about
it. Without Ben beating Dalton.
Yeah, you know, 4 weeks. Anyway, Steve, we were talking about this as we were getting prepared here. This is another potential Saturday, Penn State Saturday with rain. There's only been one game this year where it hasn't rained, or did it actually rain a little bit in that game?
No, it was nice the entire day.
Okay.
San Diego State was nice the entire day.
Yeah,
okay.
Beautiful.
But we don't know. It's a hurricane.
I understand that, but my question is this.
I don't sit here looking around saying, oh, my goodness, build the ark. Well, we'd all would have built how many arcs by now over the years based on, well, the track could go here, it could go here, it might go here. And then you always get the, I can't believe it went there.
Actually, I think the Virginia, the VMI game is a little more of an issue than Penn State right now. VMI Bucknell could be a little bit more of a weather issue than Penn State on Saturday. But what I was going to ask you is, let's, for the sake of argument, it rains. And obviously both teams have to play in the same conditions. But a team that predominantly runs the ball, would they have a little bit more of an advantage?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you got to remember, the receivers know where they're going. The DBs don't.
Good point.
And you know, so I don't. Look, to me, you want to know what I think is the biggest single factor in any football game weather-wise, without question?
Wind.
Is wind.
Kevin. Rain,
snow, Kevin's snow fine, rain fine, wind bad.
Kevin is one wind. For one today.
Well, actually, I'm more concerned. That's exactly what my concern is with Bucknell VMI, because of the way that stadium sits. It's really open, and the wind could really, really affect that stadium in that game.
You'll be fine. You get C.J. Williams. Okay.
Well, that's the listen. It's going to be C.J. Del Morrow, and you know those guys are going to be the ones you're going to lean on in a game like that.
You know, I don't go into games panicking. I don't.
No, I wouldn't say it's panic. It's not panic. Yeah.
Bob,
yes.
Step in.
All right, I'm here.
Bob, step in.
It's
Bob,
not panic.
Are there more?
Bob,
would you like some
Bob,
more rugby
Bob,
scores
Bob,
there, Steve?
No, Bob does Bob, he has a tendency to panic. You know that.
I didn't say I didn't have a tendency to panic.
No, he panics. There's no tendency about it. It's a well-known just phenomena. It's panic time for Kevin.
I did not deny that. No. What I'm concerned about is the rain, wind, and thunderstorm potential in Lexington on Saturday.
Steve, here's a question for you as an announcer. Has there ever been an announcer killed by a lightning strike at a VMI game in history?
No. So far, so good.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be amazed at being in the press box, you know, surrounded by warmth,
yeah,
shelter, just being surrounded. How
yeah.
the biggest struggle will be getting into the press box. After that,
yeah,
they even give you food.
Yeah, and Kevin, so nothing to worry about. You're just a little, what's the word, antsy, I guess.
Look, you're going to leave at 5:30 in the morning.
Can't tell you how excited I am about that thought, but yeah.
You're going to be asleep most of the time. By the time you wake up, they'll be at James Madison. Meanwhile, Doug, who carries you repeatedly game after game.
Well, he should. He's the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, no, I'm talking like as the driver, too.
Oh! No, actually, Doug will be asleep on the way down, too. And whether he's driving or not, he'll still be asleep.
Well, here's the part there. It will throw a real curveball to Doug, an absolute curveball to Doug. Wendy's doesn't serve breakfast. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, Penn State practiced in the rain last night. They did not go indoors. Just thought maybe that which is fine. I mean, it rained the entire time, and it came straight down, but it was actually no big deal out in the rain last night. The only thing you really worry about practicing outside, honestly, is the shape of the field.
You actually had less rain in State College than we did here.
Sure.
Well, no, I looked at the measurements. You trust me, you did.
Okay. I'll sum it up. Can I, Bob, do I need to sum it up some sort of caring here? Or?
Yeah, just in a brief fashion.
Oh, sure. Hey, Kev, thanks. Appreciate it.
You know what was great about yesterday? Not being here.
Oh. We loved it, actually, Kevin.
I'm sure it was actually, mutual there.
No.
To be honest, we submitted it for an award.
Yeah, I hope you do well.
Yeah. Oh, I think we got a good shot now. All right. So, you open yourself up.
Listen, on this show, it doesn't really matter. I cannot open myself up, and it still happens. I have an uncanny knack of that happening to me.
Okay. Very quickly, tomorrow's going to be our high school football previews. Shikellamy looks to make it 2 wins in a row there, big guy.
Played very well last week offensively and defensively.
Yeah, sure did.
4 interceptions.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah, that's huge.
Pick 6.
That's great the way they turn things around like that. That's a great win for them. I assume they're on the road tomorrow?
No. Home? Montoursville, yes. Go on the road next week.
Oh, next week. So you got Montoursville tomorrow night at 7. Sealands Grove's been playing great.
They're going to be on the road. Yeah. They're going to be on the road at Berwick at Crispin Field. That'll be a biggie. Oh, and by the way, Berwick had discussed coming into the Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference, and I was told this week that the school board voted it down, so they will stay in the Wyoming Valley Conference, even though they continue to play a lot of teams in this area.
Well, they were originally way back in my day, Kevin.
Yes, they were.
They were part of the Susquehanna Valley Conference in all sports, and then they decided for whatever reason to go up the river to Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and in certain sports it worked out for them, like one, and everything else not so much. So
it's a rough division for basketball. They're in a really tough league for basketball.
Berwick and Sealands Grove, Steve, two great programs that have seemed to make their way into state finals from time to time.
Sure they have, yeah. That's been great. Now they've both played very well. And, yeah, I'm sure it's a very tough basketball conference. It's produced how many state champions?
Actually, it's the same. It's the same district as Abington Heights.
Yeah, Abington Heights. Yeah, the district too.
Funny man.
Dunmore. No, it's not Dunmore. Where did Jerry McNamara play? Went on to Syracuse.
Scranton.
Yeah, they've had some. Yeah. They've had some rather good teams, and you know, some good basketball players have come out of that area.
And there's a few private schools in that area that have done well too, but you know.
Yeah,
here comes the bitterness. here comes the anti-charter pure hate no voucher
Bishop Hoban
private school
now called Holy Redeemer.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, at that time it was the time I was covering games up there was Bishop Hoban.
Okay, so you're going to risk putting down a school called Holy Redeemer?
Yeah. Not with the Pope visiting.
But does it count if you're Protestant?
What?
I don't know. I just wondered.
I mean, the Pope's gone now, so you feel like you can take shots at Holy Redeemer?
He wasn't last week.
I noticed when he was in town, you were playing it cautious. I'm a season ticket holder at Holy Redeemer.
Actually, I just said go Irish all the time, and it seemed to work.
Okay. Actually, maybe you should have gone for Boston College. I believe the Pope's a Jesuit.
I didn't think about that.
Okay, we will come back second half hour of the show.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend, bonjour, how you?
That's for those of you that are listening that normally listen to rugby.
Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin taking a Sunbury Motors vehicle back and forth to the shore every day.
Actually, I had to take it back to the dealership on, yesterday? Because the Transit Connect, gone.
They realized that No.
It was due to the fact that somebody wanted to make some money with their business. So they bought a Ford Transit Connect, and now they're enjoying the great gas mileage as well as the
and now you're walking
customizability of the vehicle and not really walking. No,
it's actually hitchhiking, I think, is the proper term.
Well, that ends up being a walk.
You know, when I did have the Transit Connect, The big front windshield was the first thing you notice when you sit inside. Not just because you look out of it, but because it's just, you look out of it, it's like, it is enormous. There is so few lines of sight you don't have with that vehicle, which is good, because if you're going to plaster your business name on the side of it, you want to make sure that you're not cutting anybody off. You want to make sure that you're obeying all the signs and all the limits and all the traffic rules, because the last thing you want is to be cutting somebody off in a logoed vehicle. Well, I'll tell you what, not only will you be able to see everything, but you have actually some storage space in the top. So if you have paperwork that you need customers to sign, you can just stuff it, put it right above the sun visor. You can pick it right back up in this from that storage facility, right where you're sitting. Head out, have them sign the paperwork, throw it right back up there in the storage container, and you're good to go. It's one of the many great features of the Transit Connect from Ford, customizable for your business, or if, as I said this morning, you want to be an Uber driver because they have a 7-passenger version. There's some serious money to be made there.
See, another career. There you go.
I'm going to be an Uber driver.
Can never have enough good ones, Steve. You know that.
I think I would be the first Uber driver in the region.
There you go. That's great.
Trendsetter.
Just see Jack's face the other day when we were talking about USC Arizona State, and I said, "Yeah, the last time USC played Arizona State," I said, "Lane Kiffin had to call Uber to get home."
Yeah, those airport firings can be a little troubling.
Okay.
Where is Lane Kiffin, by the way, just as an aside?
Offensive coordinator at Alabama. So, and they are struggling. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, this is a big one, upheld a lower court's ruling in the Ed O'Bannon case that the NCAA violated antitrust laws by limiting student-athlete compensation. Okay. But they also ruled against a plan to pay student-athletes as much as $5,000 a year. It's a split decision. These always happen in the three-judge panel, doesn't it, Bob? It's very rare when it's 3-0. These are political appointees.
And you get, obviously, the most controversial cases get up to the circuit court, which is, for our listeners, it's one rung below the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
So, yeah, not surprising. And, you know, Steve, the question, I read about that today, and I thought, gee, Steve, who has followed Ed O'Bannon's case from the get-go before anybody mm-hmm. else did, might just ask me about that. The question becomes, is this precedent only binding in the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals area, which is Nevada and California, essentially?
This is a ruling by, believe, Bob, that covers everything that you have to appeal it then to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I believe that's how it's going to work. But what the $5,000 was, the $5,000 was supposed to be on top of cost of attendance.
Yes.
It wasn't going to be $5,000. Oh, they're all going to get $5,000. You're saying, well, Penn State student-athletes get $4,700. They're going to get $300 more? No, it would have been, in other words, if this had gone through, Penn State student-athletes that are on full scholarship would have received $9,700, plus they would have received $5,500 from Pell Grants, which would have brought their total to, $15,300 or something like that.
Somewhere around that area, sure.
Yeah, $15,200. So the ruling is that the cost of attendance stays as is. There will be no additional $5,000 a year in deferred compensation. It would have been deferred compensation. And they still get to keep their present cost of attendance, which was ruled on by the NCAA. The NCAA did that themselves. So the court did not mandate that. The NCAA did it itself, feeling that we have to do something. So they did. And the players still get to keep their Pell Grant money. So at Penn State, that number is about $4,700, you know, give or take a couple hundred. So it's about $4,700 for a full student athlete for the year. And if you qualify, and about 75% do qualify for Pell Grants, and Pell Grants go to $5,500 in addition.
Steve, let me just jump in on one point with Pell Grants so that everybody's clear about that. Pell Grants are federal grants that anybody at Penn State or anybody at Bucknell, Susquehanna gets. It's just not for the student athlete. It is something by virtue of being a college student, if you fall within certain financial guidelines, you are eligible for, and it is a grant, not a loan. So they're not. I don't want anyone to think that they're singling out student athletes who get this extra thing that a regular student doesn't get on the Pell Grant.
Right, they do. Exactly. Now, anybody can get a Pell Grant. There's no question about that. But the difference is that with a Pell Grant, idealistically, say, for example, Bob Buhner qualifies for a Pell Grant in the full amount of $5,500. In all likelihood, Bob will take the $5,500 and Bob will put the money toward tuition. Right? Okay. I'm saying, though, idealistically, that's what you would do is you would take the money and you would use it for your tuition or whatever difference there is between, you know, if you want to keep a small student loan out, you can do whatever you want with it. But, for example, say your tuition is $3,000 per semester. You get $5,500. You get a subsidized Stafford loan for about $1,000, unsubsidized for another $1,000, and a Pell Grant for $5,500. Okay? You can take that $5,500 and you can just kill off the $1,000 you owe plus the unsubsidized loan right there at once and not have the unsubsidized loans and turn it down, or you can keep the unsubsidized loan for $1,000, kill off the other $1,000, and then still have $4,500 to do whatever you wish. The difference with the student athletes that's on a full scholarship is they get the $5,500. Oh, there is nothing to pay off.
That's right.
And it is not, and like the cost of attendance, both are non-taxable. So you get the money, it is not taxable. Anybody out there, whether you're at Bucknell, Bloomsburg, Penn State, Susquehanna, wherever, and you get a Pell Grant, there is no tax on that check at all that you get. Zero.
Not considered income.
Right, exactly. Now, what happens is that what several student-athletes do, especially those who are in absolute financial need, and this does come into play, many of them will take the money and they'll send it back to their parents because they need it.
Been known to happen, that's for certain.
More often than not, that happens. At this moment, Kevin is filling out Pell Grant applications because it sounds so attractive.
He is.
I don't understand, though. This is from a parent standpoint. This makes, and a taxpaying standpoint, it makes no sense. How does a student who's getting a free ride, whether it be athletic, academic, or whatever, how do they qualify for Pell Grants anyway?
Because they qualify for it because of the economic situation they're in at home.
Yeah.
All you have to do is fill out the paperwork that explains what your economic situation happens to be, and when you do that, they then determine the Pell Grant amount that fits you. The max is 50. I believe the max is 5,500.
57, I think it is now.
Oh, is it 57? Yeah. 5,700?
I believe it's 5,700. Right. I remember reading.
And it only has to do with it. You do not on the loan. You do not sit there and fill it out and say, are you a student athlete of the university? That question's not on there. Okay? That question is not on there. And, why would it be on there? That only affects my new percentage.
This is off the sports end of it, but why in the world do you need a Pell Grant if you have your college tuition and books paid for?
Well, because you have to have a place to live. You have to have a place to live.
That's taken care of, too.
Bob, you get an allowance for that. If you're off campus, you get an allowance for that.
I understand that, but if you want to upscale
a little bit. Yeah, you can. But, Kevin, when you're a student-athlete, you can't hold a job.
That's true.
You can't do it.
That's true.
And the way sports has become, it's become a 24/7 deal for them as to what they do between studies, class, tests, all right, study hall, okay, study football, study basketball, practice football, practice basketball. They're not on the practice field. I mean, the Northwestern thing I found to be the Northwestern thing is so filled with exaggerations. We put in 50 to 60 hours a week, in practice. No, you didn't, okay? If you were practicing 50 to 60 hours a week, you'd be dead. Okay, and you would be 0-12, All right, you didn't practice 50 or 60 hours a week. Now, are you expected to do work on your own away from the practice field? Yes, but they now today, everybody has video systems that everybody can tap into. Student athletes in the Power Five conferences, right, football, men's basketball, all have iPads now. And the iPads are allowed to be provided by the university to do university work or to do football work, basketball work. They're allowed to buy that for them to use. And what happens is that you go into the iPad, and that iPad has on there, okay, daily schedules, daily routine, okay, playbooks in there. That iPad also has the scouting report on next week's opponent, has all the tape of practice, has all the tape of the opposing opponent going back probably about a year and a half, right, which they can call up and go through every time. So somebody like Christian Hackenberg, for example, has the ability to go on his iPad, call up, okay, I want to take a look at all the pass defenses that Army has played in the last 2 years. And every single play is on there that he can call up because that is within the system. Just like Trace McSorley can do that on his iPad. He can go in and he can look at anything he wishes. Basketball, same thing. I want to go in. Penn State's going to play Iowa this week. Boom. All right. Show me all of Iowa's baseline out-of-bounds plays. Boom. Hit the button. All the baseline out-of-bounds plays are there. Okay. Show me their half-court sets. Boom. Half-court sets are there. Okay. Show me the scouting report on each player. Oh, look. Anderson has a tendency to go left, right? Billings is a right-handed player. Likes to take the ball at the top of the key. You know, I mean, it's all in there for them, and they have that. And that's what they're working on besides doing their schoolwork. They can take iPads on their own time and can call it up anytime they want and can do that. So that's where the extra time comes in. In terms of being on a court or on a field, no. It's that borders on the absurd. I would say Pat Chambers in a basketball practice is going during the course of the week approximately 7 hours a week on the court. 7 hours a week on the court, maybe. Maybe 7 hours a week on the court. And I think he cuts it down to about 5.5 during the week getting ready for games. James Franklin, let's see, 2, 4. I'd say James Franklin is on the field practicing hard 5 hours a week, 5.5 hours a week practicing hard. Walk through on Friday, usually 15, 20 minutes. And out there, walk through, but more of a meeting setting for an hour on a Sunday night. Okay, that's it. That's practice. That's what Joe Paterno did for years. And Joe, as the season went, would cut practice back, cut it back, cut it back, cut it back. And Joe was probably on the practice field 4 to 5 hours of the last week of the season. So all this mumbo jumbo, you know, that the union put out about they're out there 50 to 60 hours. But no, they're not. And it's, you know, it's just like the thing with Napier. You know, I go to bed hungry sometimes. No, Shabazz, I'm around it all the time. It's impossible. You can't. All right? You've had training table from September 28th to April 8th. I'm sorry. You can fool everybody else, but I'm around it. I see it. Okay? So don't snow people. You can snow people who don't know or don't bother to look into it. All right? Or aren't around it. You can snow them easily. You can't snow people who look around and go, no, that's not it. Hey, you know, are the rides open at Shabazz Land? What's going on here?
Well, this is going to be very interesting. The key question in the next couple of days, maybe 2 weeks, will be, will there be an appeal of this decision on the O'Bannon case as it affects...
Of course there will.
Well, that's...
Of course there will. Oh, of course there will. Oh, everything's appealed in life, you know that.
I do know that, but I'm not so sure.
Which will be decided first, the O'Bannon suit, or will Brady's decision come down first?
The O'Bannon suit is a far more important situation than the Brady suit, because the O'Bannon suit affects
I think we just lost our connection.
Sunbury
Motor
Studio.
What
Steve was saying is the O'Bannon decision out of Nevada affects all college scholarship athletes from now till the end of time, whereas the Brady decision basically affects one guy, his team, for a couple games.
It'll be interesting to see, though, how long this case. I mean, the next step is the Supreme Court, isn't it, Bob? And or is there a step in between?
No, the next step is the Supreme Court, and it'll take them a good, I think, 4 to 6 months to decide whether they will take the case. After that period of time, when they decide, okay, we'll take it, till they set down the what is known as the briefing schedule and then the argument, they go from early October until end of May. There's a possibility if they do accept it, it might be heard by early May, and they might get a decision out in June.
Right.
So
exactly. I mean, yeah, and it, I mean, the two aren't even in the same realm. The O'Bannon case is exponentially more important than the Brady case. I mean, they aren't even in the same ballpark.
I mean, no, that's exactly right.
Affects,
well, yeah. The one affects one guy and a team for a couple of games, and the other one is literally 118 schools in football that play Division One, and a couple thousand athletes now and forever.
Well, and that's my point for asking exactly. The question, because of the absurdity of how long the Brady case is taking anyway. And this one actually has relevance.
No, the Brady case has been expedited. The wheels of justice grind slowly, but it has been expedited.
But you know what? You know what's absurd about the Brady case? Why did he bother to appeal? Can't somebody sit down with him and say, look, give it up. Move
I know.
On.
You know, okay? Isn't that one of the
I don't get it.
Well, Steve, one of the things they tell you in law school about these kinds of situations, if you win, declare victory. It's over. You won. Right. Don't appeal.
All right. But, I mean, you look at the NFL. Why are they appealing?
Yeah.
Just give it up.
Yeah.
Move on. Don't you think there's enough? I mean, the TV ratings have been better than ever. They had a 16.9 for the Giants-Redskins game the other night. 16.9, okay? That's up 5 rating points over the same week a year ago on Thursday night. 5 ratings points. That's unbelievable in today's television. Every television rating is going down except the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 5 ratings points higher. And the Steelers-Ravens game, I'll bet any amount, even though the Giants and the Redskins are in huge media markets, the Steelers-Ravens games might be even more appealing, and they might get a 17+. It's unbelievable. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK as Kevin fills out the Pell Grant form. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Michael Vick gets the ball tomorrow night for the Pittsburgh Steelers when they take on the Baltimore Ravens. Exactly what primetime football wanted. Michael Vick, Joe Flacco, McCown, and Brandon Whedon. Primetime with some of the great quarterbacks in the history of the game.
The greatest quarterbacks of our time.
Yeah. They're all sitting in a room right now saying, how do we promote this? we can't promote this. Yet the ratings are going to be good. The ratings are going to be good. You got Dallas on Sunday night. You got Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Tomorrow night, New Orleans doesn't draw too much. I don't know what the Monday night game is, but they didn't exactly give ESPN the cream of the crop on Monday night. for $1.9 billion. That's what happens when you criticize Goodell.
Not what I would call money well spent.
Yeah. It is. It is money well spent, to be honest with you. That is the highest rated show that they have all week. It dominates cable ratings.
Well, for them,
The lead-in is sold out. You notice every element is sold on that, you know, including a little 15-minute pregame show, the Denali pregame show. I mean, this is, for ESPN, an investment beyond words.
It's a gold mine.
Yeah. It's a domino that helps the rest of their programming.
A lot of spillover.